Right now, it is time to bring in Mike Causey. It is time to check sports. Good morning there, Mike.
Good morning.
How's your week been going?
It's boring. I've been going for a walk every day when it's not raining. Other than that, I've been planted in my chair.
Well, I've been planted in my chair because I normally go home and take a nap anyways, but then I normally do something outside. But you know what? I just figured, you know what? I'll stay inside my house. My house is basically hermetically sealed because I don't like bugs, okay? So windows are never opened. I have central air conditioning. Not central air conditioning. I have a couple of these air conditioners that cool the house. So I'm hermetically sealed. And if UPS comes or Amazon or anybody comes, they can't get past the door to the outer. I have a little like entryway. Mm-hmm. They can't get past that. Someone came from the U.S. Census Bureau and she knocked on the door. And I went to my door. She said, "Can I give you?" I said, "No, you can't give it to me now. I don't know who you are. I don't know where that envelope's been. Mm-hmm. Come back in about, let's say, 60 days."
That's another thing. Like, I'm supposed to go for my physical on Monday.
They'll cancel it, I'm pretty sure.
They called yesterday to confirm it. I'm a little apprehensive about that. The only thing is I need my meds, because I'm almost out of them. So I'm going to call them today and say, I'm a little apprehensive about coming to the office. I know you say it's safe, but can you just give me another script and I'll see you in May or something?
Yeah, I think you have the absolute right to do that. I think you do.
Yeah, they say that they don't take anybody with symptoms, but how do you know?
I had a doctor's appointment when this all first started, 4.5 weeks ago. I actually had my regular appointment, and I did have a cold at the time. I called into the doctor's office. They said, "That's okay. You can, come in, wear a mask." I came in, and he said, "Marshall, we just can't do the big physical." He said, "But I thought I'd see you and just check you because you had a cold and everything like that," and sent me on my way. So I rescheduled that, and at the same time, he refilled my meds that I need, mm-hmm. my prescription.
Yeah, I don't care about going to physical. I know I'm fine and everything, but I don't want to put myself there and, put myself somewhere where I can be, around something. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not a hypochondriac or nothing, but I'm a big believer in don't put yourself in danger either.
Well, that's the whole thing. Years ago, up until I was about 30, I was a big believer in putting myself into danger in just about any position in the world.
But that all changed with me on September 11th. I don't put myself anywhere where there could be problems.
Well, it all changed with me when I got to be 30. I think it was 33 or 34. I don't know. For some reason, I just said, if I want to live a longer life, I better stop all this crazy stuff. Well, anyways, in sports, this is going to be interesting. The NFL is going to keep its draft in April. But how they're obviously not, thank God, they're not going to have hundreds and thousands of people oohing and awing on each draft pick because it's not going to be allowed.
It'll be done remotely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't see why they should stop it because everything's been done, the combines and everything. But, so you can go through and do your draft.
Actually,
the one that's going to be really affected is baseball.
Yeah, but the great thing about the NFL draft this year, we won't have all those idiots, the thousands and thousands of people that have no life, that are cheering and booing and everything like that. It's just going to be a plain draft.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They can go ahead and have it because there's nothing holding them back. Their season was complete. Everything was done. Like I said, baseball is way up in the air because maybe these teams played 15 games and their season got pulled on the plug. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And with the NCAA extending another year to seniors, that changes a lot of stuff too.
How about who was the agent yesterday that pitched a baseball season that would end with the World Series on Christmas Day?
Oh, that was Boros.
Okay.
He's out of his mind about playing games at neutral sites where it's warm and everything.
It's not baseball.
That has about an eighth of a tenth of a percent chance to do it. So don't even worry about it. He's just selling himself.
I saw that and I said, this is on the list of dumb ideas. This is
high.
I see where the toy cannon Jimmy Wynn passed away at the age of 78.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, 78. He was an outfielder for the Astros. He had he was only 160 pounds, and he could hit the ball a mile.
Yeah, and he hit home runs in the Astrodome, which was really hard at that time. So, and hitting home runs in an indoor park.
Yeah. So. I'm trying to think what else I noticed happened in sports that was...
Well, Syndergaard's got to go get his arm cut.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny how the guy that retires but never goes away, you know who I'm talking about, right? In the afternoon, what's he retired three times and he's still there?
Who?
The sports guy in the afternoon.
Oh, is he back again?
Oh, yeah. He's retired, but he's still there. How he's saying it's wrong of Syndergaard to get an elective surgery now, and like really adamant and out of his mind about it. But the thing is, this is this guy's livelihood. He needs to get it done. It might be under elective surgery, but it's a necessity. It's almost like somebody going in and having something done for their health that would alter their life. This will alter his life. It's not. Yeah. It's not like going to get your tonsils out. So
he's not taking,
as usual. He's wrong.
He's not taking advantage of anything. It's just. It's a question of, all right, you're not playing baseball now. Get it done.
He needs it done. Yeah. He gets it done.
Get it done. Exactly right. Hey, congratulations to Drew Brees and his wife. They donated $5 million.
$1 million.
Yeah, for meals in the Louisiana area.
Yeah, that's, like something like 10,000 meals a day for I don't know how long he's paid for it.
That's pretty cool.
$5 million, that's a lot of money, boy.
That's pretty cool.
That's an individual. That's not a corporation.
Yeah, and because it's going to meals, it's going to feed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't see any of these other big money guys doing it.
No, it's nice when you see that. It shows that is a true give back. It's like what Watt did in Houston by starting that fund himself, mm-hmm. and it wound up with what $20 million donated.
Something
to
like that, yeah.
I mean, those are what you want people in entertainment and in sports who get paid the big salaries. That's what you want to see through them. You don't mind them really making that money. They happen to be the right place at the right time, but when they give back and they give back mm-hmm. freely. That's totally different. That's what you want to see from these people.
I don't see a couple of these New Jersey singers throwing back money or these Hollywood people that have high opinions. I don't see them choking up $5 million.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see everybody like that that makes that kind of money do that. Hey, any racing going on this weekend?
Yeah, it's still running. We got Florida Derby tomorrow. I don't know when the plug's going to get pulled on this stuff. Because you got all these different factions crying about it and everything else. But, you know, the horse racing industry is a big industry, and if you stop racing, there's a lot of people there that aren't going to be making money. There's enough people out there with businesses closed that aren't making money. To close these guys down would just add to that number, and if you don't have to, don't. They're running in front of no one, so there's really no threat there. Castellano, a jockey, came up with it, but he didn't catch it at the track because he hasn't ridden in 2 weeks. So, you know, the media just sensationalizes things the way they want to and the way they want to portray it. But as far as the track goes, it's a colony of people in the backstretch that need the money. They a lot of them don't have Social Security numbers, if you know what I mean. And they need the money to survive. And if you shut down the track, they have absolutely no way of getting any kind of income. So keep the track running. I don't see any problem with it. We're going to go tomorrow to the sixth race, be the first one, the Grade 3 Hal's Hope, a mile and an eighth on the dirt. Some nice big fields tomorrow at Gulfstream all day long. This draws 11 horses in it. And a couple of horses I'm looking at. One is the 8-horse, Sir Anthony. Since this horse got lost to Blinkers a year and a half ago, this horse has won some pretty big races and put up some pretty big numbers. He's 2-for-3 at Gulfstream with the win. I was on him the day he won the Harlan's Holiday, another Grade 3 last year, just under 26-1. And then he came back two races later to run second in the Skipaway at 9-1. So this horse likes the track. He's coming back to the track, so at 15-1 with Giroux up, he's a definite use for me. Another horse in here that I might be using is the 3-horse You're to Blame. This horse has 3 starts to track with 2 wins and a third. This, believe it or not, this mile and an eighth distance might be a little too short for him. This horse is 1.25 miles and better usually, but I'll nonetheless give him a shot on in the Hal's Hope tomorrow. But my top pick is going to be the 1-horse, Harvey Wallbanger. I picked this horse last year in the Holy Bull when he won it just under 30-1, and last time out probably ran the best race of his life at Gulfstream Park. This horse has 3 lifetime wins, with 2 of them coming at Gulfstream. He just sat the rail real easily, and then when asked to run, he picked it up with a big, huge turn of foot, 1 going away by 5. He sits at the rail tomorrow. I think he trips out. There's enough of speed in this race to set it up for him. And 4-1 morning line, I think that's just about where he'll go off. So I really like the 1, Harvey Wallbanger, on top. The 15-1 8-horse, Sir Anthony, underneath, with the 3, You're to Blame. So a 1-3-8 in the 6th race at Gulfstream tomorrow, which has a 2 o'clock post time. The 13th race is the 1-mile Appleton on the turf. And like I said, this race has a full field of 12 with, I think, 4 AEs, which if anybody scratches, they'll pop in. So you're going to get 12 horses in here. You can go a lot of ways in this race. The way I'm going is I like the 1 English B. This horse has 4 races at Gulfstream with the win in two seconds. Had 2 races off the layoff at Gulfstream Park. Ran 6th in a Tropical Park Derby in December, and then on February 29th, ran a winning race in the Canadian turf, but the lone speed in that race, Somba Jay, who's also in this race, wound up beating him by a half length at just under 11-1. So I like the 1 English B. Second horse in here I like is the 4 Bala Rocks. This horse will sit just off the pace, and this is a definite horse for course. 4 starts at Gulfstream, never off the board with 3 wins. The horse has 6 lifetime wins, with half of them coming at Gulfstream. Should sit just off the pace and make a nice move and be in contention coming down the lane. And the 10-horse Sambier is the one I mentioned. I think there's enough of speed in here that wasn't in his other race to keep him honest. So I think it's going to set up for the closers. And the 1 closer I like the most is the 2-horse Hembry. 1 win at 3 starts at Gulfstream. Has 2 race off the layoff. Coming in off the Canadian turf where this horse ran 8th. Didn't get the best of rides that day. Gets a jockey change to Rosario, who's in from California. That could be the big difference in this horse. So the 2 Hembry at 12-1 is my top pick, with the 1 English B and the 4 Bala Rocks making up my exacta. Another horse you could throw in here is the 12 El Tormenta with Leperu. It's going to have to be used hard a little bit early, but this horse more than capable of making some noise. At the mile distance, he's run 4 times with 2 wins in a second. So I'm going to go with a 4-horse box in that race. It brings us to the big race of the day, the Florida Derby. Doesn't have as much impact as it would have had because the Derby's now going to be in September. But these are still 3-year-olds in training, and you see how they progress. 2 horses in here that are going to get all the money is the 7, Tis the Law, and the 12, Etty Indian. Tis the Law won the Holy Bull by 3. Etty Indian ran 2nd, and Etty Indian came off of that race to win the Fountain of Youth by 8. So I think both of these horses are going to be less than 2-1 and big favorites in here, but I'm going in a totally different direction. There's enough speed in here to keep Etty Indian honest, which didn't happen last time in Tampa. The horse freaked out that day, and I think there's going to be more pressure on the front end to make him honest. I'm not sold on Tis the Law. I don't think Etty Indian is that great of a horse, neither do I think of Tis the Law, who's a New York bred. This horse, the last time he ran, was the only time he ever won going 2 turns. I'm not sold on this horse at the 6-5 morning line, so you can keep it. The 2 horses I like best are the 5 Governor Morris and the 6 Ajaweed. Governor Morris is coming off a win at Tampa Bay. He was prepping for the Tampa Bay Derby, ran into some problems, skipped the race, was coming into the race pretty good, and I think he's just as good right now. So 8-1 with Johnny Velasquez up is a nice play for me. And the 6 Ajaweed, There's a horse that I've been telling people about. His name is Maxfield. And I think no matter how many bullets Bobby Baffert has in his gun in September or not, I think Maxfield, if healthy and is healthy, is tons the best, will be tons the best in the Kentucky Derby this year. And that's the common denominator for Governor Morris and Osherweed. They both ran pretty good against Maxfield when he blew everybody away in a Breeders' Futurity at Gulfstream. Thus, Governor Morris coming in off the win is going to be my top pick in this race, and Osherweed's going to be my exacta box for coming into this race. In that Sam Davis running a nice third, but definitely needed the race. But these horses were competitive against Maxfield. Nobody else ran against them. So I'm going with an 8-1 and a 20-1 shot to upset the Florida Derby tomorrow. Can't make a name picking 6-5 shots, so we're going against those two favorites.
All right, Mike, I want you to have a good, safe weekend, and we'll check in with you again next week.
I might need a new chair, man. I'm living in this thing.
That's right. Wear it out.
Yep.
All right, take care, buddy.
Have a great week, guys.
Take care. Mike Cossey with the Check on Sports this morning, and we'll have none other than Pat Pagano.